God showed me two things in prayer this morning. Woke me up early. I had a wake-up call for 6:30, and I woke up long before that. God showed me two things. Number one, that His awesome Spirit is blowing away any cloud that the enemy has tried to put over you or this church. Number two, God showed me that some of you are in the place of Joseph, the second place of Joseph. The first time we see Joseph, he's down here and his brethren are up here. But when God turned it around, Joseph is up here and the circumstances are down here. God's going to turn circumstances around in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're not a mistake. You're not a fluke. You're not an accident. You are predestined, preordained, pre-chosen, pre-cut, pre-shrunk, and pre-fit for this last day. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's liven it up a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm excited about what God's doing. Now, when I was in the world, I never got interested in the fight until the blood got to flow and the teeth got to fly, and then I got interested. Hallelujah. And I'm interested in what God's doing in the body of Christ in these last days. Come on, who is this coming up out of the sheepfold with the oil glistening in his hair? It's David, and God's calling some Davids in these last days. Come on, who is this limping up from Jabbok? It's Jacob after he's wrestled, and God's changing from Jacob to Israel. Hallelujah. Come on, who is this walking with mud balls in his eyes? It's somebody that God has sent to his destiny, and that's where we're at right now. Praise God. Let's clap our hands to him. You know what? God knew if he could ever get you that you'd be a worshiper. Hallelujah. Thank all two of you. Would you ever kind of rattle the one beside you and say, you're at church, man? Hallelujah. God knew if he could ever get you that you'd be a worshiper. Hallelujah. I said, God knew if he'd ever get you, he'd have a worshiper on his hands. Praise God. Praise God. I love to witness for God. I love to tell people about God. Every time I get on an airplane, it seems like every time I get on an airplane anymore and sit down beside somebody, they're Jewish. And I get to talk to them about Yeshua HaMashiach, our beautiful Messiah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was in Chicago back in the winter and preaching for Brother Strout. We went to a place I like to buy suits because they'll bargain with me. I wouldn't pay regular price if I was buying something for my mama. And so we was in this place, and I was up there and had a couple jackets and some slacks, and I was trying to Gentile them down. And what? Well, you don't say that other, do you? Come on, if you do, you're a bigot. Hallelujah. And there's always, when you're first, you're always shot at. I asked a rabbi one day, I said, why has Israel always been whacked? And he said, because when God chooses him, when God chooses a man, Satan chooses him too. Hallelujah. And so I walked up here in this store, Brother Straup and I, and Brother Straup had some stuff he was going to buy, and he said, I'll go first. And I said, okay. I said, I'm going to bargain with him. He said, you can't bargain with him. And I said, watch me. You can't bargain with him. I was buying a pair of shoes one time, and they were $100 shoes. And I got to, finally, the guy said, if you'll give me a quarter for them, I'll give them to you, preacher, for a quarter. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to see if he'll take 20 cents. And she said, Mahaney, I'm leaving if you do. Hallelujah. But I come up there and hung those suits and stuff up there, The minute I met the lady, I knew she was Jewish. There's something about Jewish people that's born, that's joined at the soul. You can feel the soul of a Jewish person. And I said, Mashlamei, that's a feminine for Mashalcha, means how are you? And she said, I don't speak Hebrew. And I said, you're Jewish, aren't you? And she said, yes. And I said, what do you mean you don't speak Hebrew? And she said, I come from Kiev, Russia. And she said, when the communists killed my grandparents because they heard him praying in Hebrew. And she said, we never was taught Hebrew. And they killed my parents because they found them praying in Hebrew. And I said, you don't know any Hebrew prayers? And she said, no. And I said, you don't know the chamotze, the blessing of the bread? And she said, no. And I said, well, okay. And I said, wait a minute, do you know this prayer? Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And she said, yeah, I remember my grandma whispered that in my ear. No Jew will ever forget that prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But I came from a different kind of a church than a lot of people. If you got a vacation, you took vacation and spent that week knocking doors and teaching Bible study. That's what Pastor wanted you to do. If it looked good or was any fun or tasted good, he was against it. Hallelujah. And so I wanted to go witness with some guys one day, and I sent off to headquarters and got some tracts and three other young preachers and myself, and we were going to go out and knock some doors. And they said, who'll do the talking? I said, I'll do the talking. God saved me from a lot, but eating and talking wasn't part of it. And so they said, okay. And we was knocking doors, inviting people to church. So I walked up, and one of them, and the gate just swung shut, and one of them said, Mahaney, I can't get the gate open. I said, I'll go ahead and talk to them and pray them through. And you come on up and shout after we pray him through. Hallelujah. And I knocked on the door, and about that time I looked, coming around the side of the house was a big old black German shepherd dog, just about that tall. It looked like a Shetland pony coming around the side of that house. There's three things I'm afraid of. I've never seen a man I was afraid of. I've never seen a crowd I was afraid of, or a devil I'm afraid of. I don't like flying, and I live in airplanes. I don't like dentists. And dogs frighten me. So my idea of hell would be get a root canal 30,000 feet with a Doberman looking at me, man. And I read this morning, that morning while I was getting ready to go meet these preachers, that a German shepherd has 80 pounds jaw pressure when it bites down. And that thing come around the side of the house, spun out. You ever seen one spin out when it comes around the house? Spun out, man. I felt like I could feel the ground rumbling under his feet. Or hoofs or paws, whatever those things have. The devil said he's going to get you. I said, first time you ever told the truth, devil, and you had to tell it on me. I couldn't get over the fence because I was too fat. And all the guys would holler, run, Mahaney, and I was too fat. Hallelujah. And I remembered Pastor Stanford, my pastor, had taught a lesson that week. God delivered David from the lion and the bear because he was getting him ready for Goliath. And this was my Goliath. I lifted my hands and I said, God, this is Charlie. Hallelujah. And I was praying he wouldn't say, Charlie who? Hallelujah. I said, this is Charlie. And about that time, that German shepherd clamped his mouth down around my ankle. Just, row! And it felt real funny. It didn't hurt. And it hit me again. And the lady stepped on the front porch, and she said, don't worry, we had all of his teeth pulled so it couldn't hurt anybody. That sucker standing there gumming me, Brother Eddie, and I said, what? She said, we had all of his teeth pulled so it couldn't hurt anybody. About that time, the other guys were coming in the gate. I said, come in, almighty men of valor. Hallelujah. And I said, get out of here. Then I got to worshiping God, and one of them said, what's the matter? You've lost your mind. I said, that old dog reminds me of the devil. He barks and growls, and when he gets to you, can't do anything because Jesus pulled his teeth on an old rugged cross. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to preach one of these messages that I wrestle with God about. God doesn't mind his people wrestling with him. Come on, that's where Jacob became Israel, wrestling with God. And I've wrestled with God about this. And he's told me, he said, I want you to preach this. So I'd rather preach something else. We can all shout, shuck and jive and boogie and get down and do the huckabuck and all that stuff. But God said, no, I want you to preach on this. So if you'll stand, we'll go to God's Word. Hallelujah. Good to be here with you on this beautiful first day of the week. Revelation, the first chapter. Don't get the jitters. I'm not going to do prophecy. knocked Brother Baxter out of his job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was laughing the other day. I wrote an article for him several years ago in the End Time magazine, and Sister Baxter had written an article, and some guy wrote in and said, well, you need to let that Reverend Mahaney and that Sister Judy write more. I said, well, they can really write. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's laughing about it, but he's laughing on the outside. Hallelujah. Would you read this with me, Revelation, the first chapter, and the 10th and 11th verses. Revelation 1, verse 10 and 11. When you got it, say, we're here. All right, you start reading. I was in the... I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and Pergamos, and Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and Philadelphia, and send it last at Laodicea. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now I want to preach a little while this morning on the covenant of first things. The covenant of first things. You may be seated. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, whatever you got to do, get it done. When we sit down, you got to dig in your purse and make sure your hair's right. And you got to look around, get your coat off. And it's hard for fat guys to sit in a chair with a coat on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody all comfortable? Take your shoes off. Whatever you got to do. Hallelujah. There's something about Pentecostal. When we stand up and sit down, everything goes mashugana when we sit down. Just like a kid, you hit it back here and it automatically thinks differently up here. It does. I don't believe you ought to correct kids. That's the reason I got a prison ministry with 600 chaplains and we can't get everywhere. I'm not talking about abuse. God put two little buns back there to whip. Hallelujah. Come on, you ready for the word now? The covenant of first things. God does not deal with the human family except through covenant relationship. And covenant is a binding agreement between two or more parties. Jesus asked the young man, he said, what's the first of all the commandments? And the young man asked Jesus, said, well, you tell me what's the first. And Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is HaShema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. See, Jesus added a new dimension to the Shema. And only God can add to the Scripture. Come on, back in Deuteronomy 6:4 is all your heart, soul, and strength. But Jesus said, you've got to get your mind in this. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to have a made-up mind. God's already healed everybody in this house, but God's waiting until your mind gets it into your spirit. Come on, God's already prospered everybody in this house, but God's waiting until your mind gets it into your spirit. All his promises are yea and amen. He said, if there be first a willing mind. Come on. The first covenant he talked about was the Abrahamic covenant. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He told the church that you've left your first love. That means your honeymoon love. Come on. My wife and I were riding along in a car a while back, and she's riding over there on the door. And she said, honey, you know, we used to ride close all the time. She said, we used to sit right up against each other when we was driving, and we don't do that anymore. I said, I never moved, Mama. Hallelujah. Come on, God never moved. It's the church that's moved. Come on, it's the church that's moved. We've lost that honeymoon love. See, Revelation, the 20th chapter, said that we're going to take part in the first resurrection. Come on. And it said Jesus was the firstborn of every creature. And he said he's the first fruit, and if the lump is holy, the whole thing is going to be holy. Come on. It said Christ is the first fruits of those that have risen from the dead. God has no covenant with second best. Come on. And here's something, just put this in your little computer. If we have to ask you to worship, it's not worship anymore. If we got to say, would you worship God, it's not worship. Come on, I told a camp meeting this summer, I used to be a lot more popular camp speaker than I am now. I told a camp meeting this summer, I said, if you expect me to ask you to worship, you'll sit there, we got to get a skin graft to get you off that bench. That's B-E-N-C-H there, Hot Rod. Hallelujah. Come on. It's got to be out of your spirit or it's not worship. When I get home at 1:10 tomorrow, I got to preach tomorrow night. I got to preach a district meeting tomorrow night. But when I get home tomorrow at 1:10 and I get in the car and I got my hair all sprayed down and right guard sprayed and my cologne sprayed. And boy, if we prayed as much as we sprayed, we'd have revival. But don't quit spraying. Hallelujah. When I get in the car, if I say, honey, do you love me? Well, yeah, Mahaney, I guess I love you. It don't mean much. You know when I like him and she reaches over and pats my little fat hand and says, Charlie, I love you. Brrr, hallelujah. It don't mean much if we got to say, God, do you love me? Do you love him? Would you praise him? Are you glad to be in the house of God? Would you lift your hands? Well, all we're doing is manipulating you. Come on, there ought to be something down inside that said, I'm going to give him first worship. He deserves more than the ball game or the mall. He has no covenant with second. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Either he's first in your life or you're playing games with religion. See, the first page of the Bible, on the first day, God speaks. And it said evening and the morning were the first day. In God's economy, he goes different than man. God always leads from darkness to light, from night to day. Come on. His first word reveals his purpose. I'm taking you from this point to this point. He works from chaos to order, from sin to holiness, from sorrow to joy, from poverty to wealth, from weakness to strength, from the natural to the supernatural, from the earthly to the heavenly, from doubt to faith, from human to divine, from temporal to eternity, from the curse to the blessing, from mortality to immortality. Hallelujah. The Sabbath wasn't for man, it was for God. So he could schmooze with man. That's a little word we have, means fellowship. Schmoozing. And noshing means to overeat, to eat junk food. I'm a schmoozer and a nosher. Hallelujah. My grandma used to say, you little nosher, Weisenheimer already, I'm going to put the kibosh on you. Hallelujah. That means she's going to put me under her feet. See, our rest isn't a day. And when it said God rested, you don't have to meet many rabbis until they'll tell you straight up that God never got tired. That in the Torah it doesn't say God rested. It said he desisted. He quit his labor. He got finished with it. Come on, he finished on the seventh day, and a Jewish boy's got to be circumcised on the eighth day, so he has part in God's creation. Hallelujah. See, God wants his people to be close to him. The Bible said on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were exposed to Moses. On the first day of the month, the waters dried up and they removed the top of the ark. On the first day of the month, Moses set up the tabernacle. On the first day of the year. See, God's redemptive power took place and we celebrate not the seventh day, the finished work of creation, but we celebrate the first day, the finished work of redemption. Come on. Hallelujah. See, God wants people that'll put him first. Come on. I said, God wants people that'll put... God spoke to me this morning and said, I want you to preach this because I'm ready to move this church into a dimension that they're not only going to shake this area, but they're going to shake our nation and shake the body of Christ. And they can't do it if they don't get the first right. Hallelujah. Jesus met him at the first day of the week and he said, Shalom Aleichem. Come on. Somehow Jesus has got it in his head that he ought to be first in everything we do. I don't know how he got that, but somehow he's got it that he ought to be ahead of the song service. He ought to be ahead of the ball game in the gymnasium. He ought to be ahead of Tom Thumb suppers and Chicken Little dinners. He ought to be ahead of anything else. Come on, he ought to be able to step in and stop the program. He ought to be able to shut everything down. He ought to be able to interrupt everything. Somehow, because he died and was buried and rose on the first day, he's got it in his head. We ought to let him be first. Hallelujah. See, Cain had the prettiest. But Abel had the first. The lamb. That was the first lamb. Come on. I require the first of everything. What we do with our first determines what happens to the rest. Only the first has redemptive power. Come on. He said, I won't take second. There's no redemption in a family, in a church, in a city, if we don't give God first. You know why Yasser Arafat was so adamant in wanting Jericho first? Because that was the first city God gave Israel. He wanted God's first. Come on. There's Pentecostal people sitting on benches with their hands raised. If you could look into heaven, you could see their pictures on wanted posters, wanted for robbing God. Come on. I didn't hear an amen. I heard some. Come on. I wouldn't let a man park cars in a church I pastored if he didn't pay tithes. If he had robbed God, he'd steal something out of my car. I sure wouldn't let some idiot take up the offering if he didn't tithe. Can you imagine trusting a thief and a robber with God's money? Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the rest is going to be added unto you. See, God's a lot more interested in getting heaven into you than trying to get you into some blessing prosperity deal. I'll give you a little one phrase about how to have financial prosperity. You want to have a prosperity sermon right now? A little seminar, learn how to live. Number one is you need to have a plastectomy. Ever look around and see if I said something nasty? Hallelujah. No, you need to cut your plastic up. Hallelujah. Come on. I've been with people who told me they was broke, and we go to the mall, and they just spend money like a drunk sailor. When my wife and I are broke, we don't buy it if we can't afford it. And if we can't afford to go down and get Tommy Watts-his-finger shirts and dresses and stuff, then we go to the Goodwill of the Starvation Army. Come on. See, God will bless us if we'll put Him first. He wants the first of our praise. Come on, that's why we start off the service with praise and worship. You know why? He wants the first of our praise. He wants the first fruit of our lips to be to Him. He wants us to love Him without somebody saying, would you love Him? We don't need cheerleaders. We need people to get back. Hallelujah. Come on. God is ready to move this church into a place that this church can be responsible to shake this city. Come on, God showed me this as clear as God's ever showed me. I saw a cloud that the enemy has tried to put over this church, and I saw the worship of God and God's people standing up, and that thing just broke up and dissipated, and God said, what the enemy's trying to do, because the enemy spots you, I'm going to make you greater than you would have ever been if the enemy never got on you. He said, if you got a donkey and you can't redeem it, break its neck. It'd be better to get rid of something you could use. If it wasn't redeemable, just don't even hang it around. And there's things in our life that's not redeemable, and we need to break it and get it out of our life. And that went against the economic mind of those Jews. Take a good donkey and break its neck when I could use it. But he said, if you can't redeem it, get it out of your life. Come on. Get it out of your life. The firstborn was payment for that which was not acceptable in God. And if we give Him first, God accepted the rest. Come on. You know why God's war program shut down when He was sending them into Israel and they went to Jericho? Because somebody got what belonged to God and hid it. And he said, you've touched the glory. You can't touch the glory. Come on. I said, you can't touch the glory. Hallelujah. It's going to get better. Come on, don't get nervous. It's going to get better. They didn't turn the heat up. That's just God talking to you. Hallelujah. Give me the big... Which one of you guys, see which one's got the biggest bill in his billfold. $5? $10. You guys need to hear this prosperity message. Hallelujah. All right. Brother Baxter comes up to me tonight and says, boy, Charlie, really enjoyed having you. Here's your paycheck. $10. Hallelujah. How much of that belongs to God? Now, I don't say all of it. You're not going to give all of it. You can't blow smoke. How much of that belongs to God there? Don't be grabbing. Hallelujah. Oy vey. How much belongs to God? $2. Scripturally, how much belongs to God? $2. Three kinds of people in this world. Those that can count and those that can't. If you're in... Huh? Well, you don't... It could be $3 for an offering. See, tithing opens the windows of heaven, but your offering determines the flow into the windows of heaven. I see the wheels turning up there on Brother Baxter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. This is getting serious. The Jews are talking now. How much of this belongs to God? $10. How much belongs to God? Now, how much do you have to give God out of if you earn 10? Huh? A tenth. You believe that, Curly? Hallelujah. But you know what? Just supposing this is $100, you made $100 this week. How much belongs to God? $10. And people would rather have $100 with God's curse on it than $90 with God's blessing on it. Come on, I'd rather have $90 with God's blessing on it as $100 smooth dollars with God's curse on it. And you know what our financial, just as sure as we're in blood covenant, just as sure as we're in family covenant, just as sure, the reason the devil's fighting marriages is because marriage is a covenant and it's a bond between God and his people, and the devil hates covenant relationship. Your financial walk with God is a covenant, and if you'll tithe, God will turn heaven upside down to take care of you. Come on, I'd rather have 90% with God's blessing on it as 10% with God's curse on it. Come on, hallelujah. Which one of you guys gave this to me? Hallelujah. No wonder, Brother Baxter, hallelujah. God wants a people that will give him everything. Come on. God wants a people that will put him first. I think God has a problem with folks coming. I don't know if anybody here come in late. I wasn't looking, but God's got a problem with people tromping into church late. Hallelujah. Come on. I don't mean once in a while. Anybody can have a flat tire or get your ox in the ditch, but I'm talking about habitually late. Come on. This was the first time you was late in the service today. Come on. See, he's kosher, man. Hallelujah. See, God wants us to put him first in everything. God's ready. You hear me? I know when God talks to me. God is ready to take this church to the next dimension of glory and revival. And God is ready to use end time. But you know what's going to keep end time from being the thing that shakes our nation? money. What could you do if somebody gave you $10 million? I guarantee somebody that gives him 10 today, I'll get more than $10 for this week. I promise you. Hallelujah. See, we've got to realize that if we walk in covenant, God is honor bound to take care of us. Hallelujah. We've got to put God first in our worship. Abraham, we'll never know who you are if you don't put God first. And Abraham put God first. And he's the father of everybody that's got faith. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, if you'd have been there and you'd have seen that woman starving to death and her little son with his little distended stomach, little flies blowing around his face, and she's propped him up against a tree and she's getting some sticks and got a little handful of meal and she's going to make a cake and they're going to starve to death and die, and all of a sudden the shadow of a preacher falls across them. Hallelujah. Well, preachers can kill the party, can't they? Maybe you think that's what we're called to do, just to kill your fun. No, we're coaches. We're trying to direct you into the areas that God wants so He can bless you. And the woman turns around and the preacher said, "Make me a cake first." Now, wait a minute. Get this picture in your mind. Play it out on the stage of your imagery. She's dying. Her kid's little stomach sticking out looks like something from Biafra or some one of those countries. Blowflies around his head. She's going to feed him some meal and he's going to die. And the preacher said, "Make me a cake first." If he was alive today, he'd be wearing a Rolex and be on TV and be named Jimmy. No, you know what it is? We don't have the concept of God first like the prophet did. Everybody else in that country perished. Just about. But that woman made it because she was putting God first. I got a friend of mine, his cotton crop failed. He got a big old cotton farm on the Mississippi River. He just got in church and his cotton crop failed. And everybody had newspapers and TV news down there and CNN and all that talking about the cotton crop that had failed because of lack of rain. So he just got in church and he was a very wealthy cotton farmer, and he called the pastor out and said, "You preached that if I put God first, God would take care of me." He said, my cotton crop's failing, I'll go bankrupt. The pastor said, "Well, I hope everything turns out all right." He said, "No, we're not hoping there. I want you to get with me and get your Bible. We're going to walk out through this cotton patch and read the scriptures to this cotton." Come on. And when those cotton balls get rotten, you can't pick very much cotton in those old cotton fields back home. Well, it was that way anyway. Hallelujah. And they read the scripture to that cotton about first fruits and tithing and putting God first. And when the harvest came, or the pick the cotton, whatever it was, I never lived on a farm. Well, I've lived on farms, but different kind of farms. And they had the news down there, and they said, "Why did your cotton crop succeed when everybody?" He said, "Because I tithed to put God first." Listen, this thing could get serious before we get out of here. Come on. I said, this thing could, I want to make it. I made up my mind, I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. My wife and I were needing to trade cars real bad. And four or five years ago, and the car I had, I owed $6,700 on it, and they offered me $600 trade-in. And Gentiles are doing that to me already. Have you ever been there? And then I've got to pay for this brand new car and take the $6,000 that I owed on this car and put it on that car. I feel a light of recognition there. Hallelujah. And my wife and I were praying, and God spoke to me and said, "I'm going to show you a principle. If you can learn how to live in my kingdom like this, and my people could ever learn this, there's nothing my people couldn't do." And I said, "Show me." And he said, "I will." That was it. So I told my wife, I said, "I got to run up to Walmart and get some stuff before you take me to the airport." And I saw an evangelist just about Christmas time. And us evangelists don't like Christmas. I don't like it, number one, because I think it's pagan. Come on. I would let my wife have a Christmas tree and find out she was buying four of them, tearing them up, stringing them around the house. They won't let our kids sing about Jesus in the school, but they can sing about Jack the Nipper. Remember this, roses are red, violets are bluish. If it wasn't for Christmas, you'd all be Jewish. Hallelujah. So I see this evangelist, I don't want to call his name because Pastor Baxter and I both know him, and him and his wife and son are mashing up cans, putting them in a gunny sack to get enough money to buy gas and to get some beans to get through Christmas. I've got $350, and God speaks to me and says, give that boy your money. And I said, God, I need this. I've got this one place to go, and then it was the 1st of December, about the 3rd or 4th, and from that point on, I don't get anything until the second week of January. And I hear these evangelists talk about pastors at Christmas time sending them checks and stuff. I ain't never got one. Of course, that's why I preach against Christmas, so they figured I wouldn't accept it. Hallelujah. I will accept it. Hallelujah. I didn't say I was against getting. Hallelujah. So God said, give that boy your money. And I said, are you sure this is you, God? God said, try the spirits. And God said, I said, come here, Bo. He said, he was embarrassed. He said, Brother Mahaney. And I said, yeah, what's happening, man? I said, here, God told me to give this to you. And I give it to him. God spoke to me and said, your hand's open to give. Now it's open to receive. Hallelujah. My wife takes me to the airport. Before I can get on the plane, the white emergency paging phone says, Reverend Charles Mahaney, pick up the phone. You know that's not good when they emergency paging you before you get on the plane. And I said, what? She said, Mahaney, the car's died. I had a man help me push it in Kmart. They said it'll never live again. And I said, well, we'll bury it when I get home. I've got some choice words I want to say over that vehicle. She said, remember what God said, that what you said today, God's shown us how to live in a dimension in his kingdom? I said, yeah. And she said, well, whatever you get from preaching this weekend, and the $350 you got in your pocket, we'll pay all of our bills and buy some groceries. I said, I love you, honey. She said, love you too, Mahaney. That's what she called me in her tender moments, Mahaney. Hallelujah. So I get off the plane in Chicago, and the pastor and another man comes meeting me, and the pastor says, what was you doing at this time? And I said, that's when I was giving that man my money. I said, it doesn't matter. And he said, tell me. And I said, I was giving an evangelist my last penny. And he said, at the very moment, God spoke to this brother in the church and said, go buy Charles Mahaney, a brand new Chrysler, New Yorker Landau. God was trying to show me there's a walking in him first. And if we'll put him first, God will take care of everything else in our life. He's not going to be second. Come on, he's not going to play second. He has no covenant with second best. Brand new Chrysler, New Yorker Landau, my favorite color. And he said, here's $500 if there's something on the car you don't want, or you not on there, you can put it on there. And I got to church that night, somebody was singing, got no shoes on my feet, got no bread in the house to eat, got no money to see me through, but I got Jesus. I said, let me sing that. I got shoes on my feet, I got bread in the house to eat, I got money to see me through, I got a New Yorker with no payments due. Hallelujah. We're never going to shake our world until the body of Christ moves into this place that we take care of God's work first, and then he'll add everything else to us. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas. I live there because that's the only state mentioned in the Bible. The Bible said Noah looked out of the ark and saw. Hallelujah. Never was in Arkansas until I was a preacher. I didn't know people married their cousins. Hallelujah. They don't. I'm just picking. Hallelujah. But my kids got old enough. I've been an evangelist for 27 years. All three of my kids graduated from high school. And my wife was a teacher and I was the principal. Of course, none of them can read or write, but they got out. Hallelujah. I give them the test. Hallelujah. Yeah, they can read. The problem was when they came out of Christian school into the public school, they was about three grades ahead of the public school. So we needed a place. My kids were getting the age, And we needed a place to settle down, so I bought a house trailer, mobile home. Heard about a guy from Arkansas won $200 million on the lottery, and he said, man, think what a trailer house that'll buy. Hallelujah. Here I am, God's ambassador to the end time, living in an 80-foot hallway. A sheet metal tornado magnet in Arkansas, man. The last 6 months of the summer we lived in there, we didn't have an air conditioner. You don't talk about getting hot when the sun is when the sun's burning down on the top of that thing. Hallelujah. And my wife and I had saved our money. For 17 years we'd scrimped and saved to get enough money for a down payment on a home. Scrimped and saved. There's a lady in the church there that's a real estate agent. And I said, time I get through with her and with what we got, and I get through Gentiling them. I said, we'll get in that pad. We'll get in that crib, Mama. And we looked at some land, 3.5 acres. A little creek and pretty, man. Nice area. And the guy said, I wouldn't even sell it to you. You don't have the money to buy it anyway. So I'm in prayer, and God tells me, said, take all the money you've saved and give it to missions. Aren't you glad God uses idiots like me instead of you to do this kind of stuff? And I said, excuse me, God? He said, take every penny you got and give it to missions. Plus, besides all the money you've saved, in the next 12 months, I want you to give $10,000. I'd preach 2 revivals back to back. I'd come home, my wife would have a suitcase packed, I'd give her a check, get on a plane, and go to nothing. And we'd live on 1 revival offering, and we'd save the other to give. Hallelujah. At the end of the year, we wrote the final check out, Christmas for Christ, to put it in the offering. $1,000. That was a $10,000, plus we had all the other money we'd save for a down payment on the home. Living in a sheet metal tornado magnet. When I walk down the hall, I take all the pictures off the wall and just walk down there. I could have put a brush on either shoulder and painted the whole house just walking through it. You say you're nuts. Well, I may be a little crazy, but I'm going to tell you something. That 3.5 acres that they wouldn't sell anybody that was too expensive, I live on that 3.5 acres. I've got a 4-bedroom... 3-bath, family room with a fireplace, hallelujah, formal living room, formal dining room, my office, a master suite. My deck on my house is bigger than the house that I was living in. I don't owe one penny on it. So you're nuts. No, God wants his people to live like this. The longer I go, the more scattered the amens get. And the harder you stare at me. I told God I didn't want to preach this, but God said this church has got to get into this dimension if we're going to have the revival. Our organization's got to get into this dimension. Come on. Come on. Don't owe a penny on the house. Every Friday night when I'm home, I get out with my ram's horn, blow the ram's horn. And every holiday, I blow the ram's horn. The neighbors pray that I'll be gone on holidays. Everybody comes into my house, I've got to touch the mezuzah and say the Shema Yisrael. And the Federal Express and the pizza guy don't like it, but they're in my house. Hallelujah. Don't owe one penny on it. And God said, if my people could learn the principles of the kingdom, if we could learn I'm first, and if you'll seek me first, I'll add everything else. He said, don't seek houses and land. That's what the goyim, the Gentiles, seek after. Or what he was actually saying, if you'll trace it, that's what the uncircumcised, the people without a covenant, seek after, is the houses and stuff. But he said, if you'll seek me, I'll give you more than you've ever imagined. Come on, I'll give you houses that you... Come on, hallelujah. 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 We're just about through. We'll be tearing up some chicken here in a minute. Hallelujah. But I... Hallelujah. The reason us preachers like fried chicken, we're trying to get even that rooster snitched on Peter back there 2,000 years ago. I've had people say, well, if there's nobody in the church, I won't preach. I will. I think part of my job. I think part of my job is to help line that church up with this pastor. Well, there's nothing as awesome in God's kingdom or as frightening to the devil as a church and a pastor that'll get in agreement together. Because a pastor can have a church bound or have the devil bound and the church not have him bound, because when the pastor gets on a plane, everything in hell breaks loose. But when a church and a pastor get together, the devil gets nervous in the service, man. I've had him say, well, I'm not going to pray. I've known evangelists get up and say, and listen, when God sends me to a church, I'm just as much called to this church this week as your pastor is. I'm going at it a different way. He pats you and I kick you. Hallelujah. Come on. He's got a shepherd's heart, and the two happiest days in my life's when I started pastoring, when I quit. If I took this church next week, I'd have half of him office telling you to go to the church across town. I was tired of fooling with you the first week. Hallelujah. But he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. So I start revival in this church, and they'd never had revival before. They said, we don't have any money. And I said, I don't either, so we'll both put our nothingness together and God can bless us. So they said, I said, you got any tracks? And they said, what? I said, tracks. They didn't know what tracks were. And I thought, I wish I could go to this church so I could change. Hallelujah. I'm not going to a dead church that don't have revival and don't believe in revival and won't pray and worship God. I don't care if it's got UPC on everything in it. I'm not going to a dead church. Come on. So I dug around the basement, found an old mimeograph machine. And I made some handbills, some flyers, and I put a picture of me on there, said, come here, the wild man. And so I was going to go out and knock doors, and some of the folks said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go knock doors. And they said, well, invite anybody in town you want to, but two blocks down the street from the UPC church is a house. We don't want you inviting them kind of people to our church. You know where the first place I went? I walked up there. They said, who is it? And I said, the sheriff. Man, you could hear the commodes flushing and mattresses flipping and sacks rattling. I said, open up in the name of the law. Hallelujah. The guy came to the door and he said, you're not the police. And he said, who are you? And I said, I'm the preacher down the street. I'm holding a revival here. And I said, I'm leading the singing, taking up the offering, taking care of the preliminaries. I open the church up, pick up everything my wife and then I preach and have the altar call and do the baptizing. And if you don't like me, you won't like the revival. He said, you don't want me to come to your church. And I said, I want you to come to my church. He said, no, you don't. And I said, yes, I do. And I said, why wouldn't I? He said, I've been in jail over 80 times. And I said, what's your last name, boy? Didn't have a shirt on, had bandages all over him. I said, good God, what happened to you, Roy? And he said, I was passed out drunk. My wife put cigarette lighter fluid on me and set me on fire while I was drunk. I thought, what a babe. Hallelujah. He said, you don't want me to come to your church. And I said, I want you to come to church. He says, well, you want to come in? And I walked into the filthiest place I'd ever been in my life. His wife come up about that tall and about that wide. First thing she said, I've been married 8 times. And I said, well, I'm impressed. Hallelujah. And Roy said, Lydia, this guy wants us to come to church tonight. She said, oh, you fat preacher, they don't want us at any church. And I said, I'm telling you, as a fat man of God, they do want you at church, and I'm the one that wants you there. I said, if you want to, you sit beside me up on the platform. He said, I don't have anybody to watch my dog. I said, bring the dog. Tie it up out in the vestibule. We tied the dog up out in the vestibule, and I was in a Sunday school contest with the guy across town, and I counted the dog, and he had to buy me a steak. Hallelujah. talked to the chief of police. The last time this man was in jail, he was driving drunk, going 80 miles an hour, and hit the chief of police in the back end while the chief of police was sitting at a red light. I thought it was funny, too. The chief didn't think it was funny. And one of the saints that saw me praying, and they saw holes in the bottom of my shoes, and they said, here, Brother Mahaney, here's $40. They got a sale on Nunbush shoes out at the mall, and I went out there and gentiled them down to $30. I had those new shoes on. And he said, I'd come to church, but I don't have any shoes to wear. And I said, if I give you my new shoes, will you come to church? He said, what? I said, watch my lips when I talk to you. I said, if I give you my new shoes, will you come to... He said, you'd give your shoes? I said, I'd give everything I own for one soul. See, that's a cliche with us, but we don't. He said, you mean you'd give me your shoes? And I said, yes. He said, I'll be there. He said, what size are they? And I was thinking, I said, what size do you wear? And I was thinking, God, don't let him say 11D. You know what size he wore? I said, here's my shoe. About 5 inches of snow on the ground. He said, how are you going to get home? I said, as quickly as I can. Never got the sniffles, walked home barefooted. Hallelujah. He came to church that night. I led song service. I got my guitar and my wife got her accordion. We sang the specials. I preached. First one in the altar was that heathen. I baptized him in Jesus' name. He come out of the water just swinging and speaking in tongues. His wife come up mouthing off, and I grabbed her by the head and cast the devil out of her, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. 3 months later, I got a phone call about 6 o'clock one morning, and their son lived in Tulsa, and he'd been over visiting them. And he said, is this Reverend Mahaney? And I said, yes. He said, my mother and father both died. He said, Dad got sick, and he died. And just an hour or two later, said, Mom died. And said, we want you to come preach the funeral. I had to borrow money to get a plane ticket. I flew in. I walked in the hospital. I walked up to the doctor, and the undertaker was there. And I introduced myself. He said, so you're Brother Mahaney? And I said, yes. He said, you're Reverend Mahaney? And I said, yes. Why? He said, those people laid there all night the night they died, speaking in some kind of funny language, saying, thank God you sent Brother Mahaney to us. I preached her funeral. Put them down in that cold ground. They had to take picks and break the ice and put them down in that cold ground. And I covered them up. And today they're waiting somewhere for the sound of a trumpet. Are those two souls worth a $39 pair of Nunbush shoes or not? God, we got to get him first. Come on, we got to realize some principles in this kingdom. But I want you to say, God said. Say it. God said, if we would give, he'd cause men to give it back to us. Shaken down, pressed together, and running over. About 4 months later, I was preaching for Ronnie Macy in Houston, Texas. You know Ronnie? I call him Clean Ronnie. Hallelujah. And one of the men walked up on Sunday night and said, Brother Mahaney, said, every time I pray, God speaks to me and tells me to buy you a new pair of shoes. Well, that Saturday before that, my wife and I had been in the Galleria Mall window shopping. And I walked up to this men's shoe store, and I looked at a pair of handmade Italian alligator hide shoes, $795. Hallelujah. $795. And the guy said, would you like to try them on? And I said, no, the car I've got out in Neiman Marcus parking lot, I only paid twice that for it. He said, try them on. I said, no, that's all right. He said, they're only $860 with tax and all. And I said, no. I turned around, started to walk away, and God said, I never forgot those shoes you give that man. Hallelujah. I said, well, he said, I want to buy you some shoes. I said, well, Payless has a sale on. If you buy one pair, you get the other pair at half price. I said, we'll wait till somebody gets a pair, and we'll get a pair at half price. Learned that from my people. Hallelujah. He said, no, there's a special place I want to take. He walked right in that Galleria Mall, walked up and said, see those shoes there? The ones I tried, the guy wanted me to try. He said, yeah. I said, you have them in 11B. I want my evangelist to have them. Hallelujah. So you're kidding me, huh? I got them babies on right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've had that since I gave that man my shoes. I've had that happen to me 5 times. I could preach 5 nights in here and wear alligator hide shoes that cost up around $1,000 a pair and never spend a nickel on. You know why? I give a $39 pair of Nunbus shoes, and you can't give to God and God not give it back to you, shaken down, pressed together, and running over. You say, well, he's after your money. Come on, it's not the money God's after. God's after your commitment to give him first. And if you give him first, everything else lines up. If you give him first. Hallelujah. 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 Katalada bahashatala basatala basat. I didn't know it, but I flew out and I preached for Brother Randy Keyes 3 or 4 months ago. And Brother Randy Keyes is in a building program, and some of the construction men had stolen $100,000. From Brother Keyes. Brother Baxter. He knows Brother Keyes, are personal friends of ours. And I did not know, and I got to preaching on the powers of restoration. I watched a little Spanish kid that had collected Coke bottles all summer long go home, or went back wherever somewhere, and brought a pair of Nike tennis shoes he'd bought to wear to the church school there that Brother Keyes has. He set them shoes up there, said, I'd rather have revival and have these Nike tennis shoes. We had 5 teenagers sell their cars that night. Said, I'd rather walk to school than have revival. Hallelujah. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to take an offering. So unclench. Come on. I saw a man sell his motorhome. A man said, I'm giving him a motorhome. Another man stood up and me and said, who's that? There's an evangelist there on the platform. And he said, who's that man on the platform? And I said, this is an evangelist. He said, God spoke to me and told him to give him my motorhome. And the evangelist fell out crying. I said, what's wrong? He said, my wife and I have been trying to believe God for a motorhome, and the one that the guy gave him was the one they'd been, the same brand they'd been looking at. Come on. Hallelujah. I watched a brand new family go out and take the air conditioner out of their home in Modesto, California, a window unit, and bring it and lay it on the platform. And I saw Brother Keyes at conference. He said, Mahaney, we're having revival like you've never seen before. Right after that, revival exploded, and they prayed 700 people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, it's not the materialistic. All you can see is a material. God spoke to me this week, said, Psalm 68:19, said, I want you to pray that. And I told my wife, I said, put it on the icebox door, and God's going to give us. He said, I loaded you daily with my benefit. I said, every day God's going to give us a blessing. She called me back. She said, Mahaney, said, I opened up the mail today, and somebody sent you a $100 bill. And I said, God done that because we can see the tangible. But the greatest blessing God's going to give us is not the tangible. It's the spiritual. There's people God would like to trust you with enough money to buy anything we needed. But you've got to get to the place where God's first in our life. Let's make a covenant. Never again will they have to ask us to worship God. Is this Oak Creek or Oak Park? Oak Park. Oak Creek's in Milwaukee. I preach at a place called Oak Creek. Hallelujah. Come on. Say, God, you're first. When you get up in the morning, if you don't have 5 minutes, when you get up, the first thing, say, God, you're first in my life. You watch heaven move. You watch God move. You watch God move. I preached this at Nate Wilson's, and the offering that night was $1.2 million. And Nate Wilson is one of the greatest minds in our movement. Nate walked up to me after service, and we're friends. He said, Charlie, and I said, what is it, Nate? And he said, when a pastor gives, and he gives into the church, a pastor's going to receive, he's going to eventually receive out of that because new people's going to come, and they're going to talk. I said, a pastor's got to give into a ministry that he knows the only way he can get it back is God give it back to him. You've got a soul in that. You've got a soul in that. Come on. My wife and I, I'll be honest with you, we're going through a financial crisis right now. And my wife said, what should I do? I said, I want you to, we was going to give $1,000 to She's for Christ. I said, don't wait till December. I said, I want you to get in, go put it in her hand. I want it in the mail right now because the seed cannot be released until it's out of your hand. Hallelujah. Say, you're crazy. I'm driving cars I didn't buy. Come on. Come on. I'm wearing shoes that cost more than a lot of your automobiles. Hallelujah. I'm living in a home, not a big house according to you, but 2,800 square feet. That's not a bad crib, is it, with an 80-foot deck? Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. You know what? Never spent a penny on any of it. God survived all of our furniture, everything we have. God gave it to us. You know why? Because we was willing to give Him everything. I said, honey, we're going to put God first if we've got to sleep on the floor. If me and you and our three kids has got to sleep in a car in a park under an overpass, God is going to get first. And God will not let you outgive Him. Come on. When you stand up and challenge God, and I'm not talking about just a... See, some of you can't see a passage, or there's a post in front of your eyes. That's got a dollar. You can't see it past that. I'm not talking about the financial. You've got to give Him everything, and if you give Him everything, God is going to give it back to you like you've never imagined in your life. Come on, somebody stand and lift their hands and say, God, I'm ready to walk in this dominion. Come on, so Brother Haney, why didn't you preach something we could shout over? If you can't shout over this, then you need to adjust your spirit. I'm talking about first. I'm talking about first. In our hands, it's not enough. In His hands, it's more than enough. Come on, let Him hold you through your storm. Till last night. I promise you, I didn't know till yesterday some of the things. Brother Baxter and I haven't talked about some of the things this church has been. And God told me, said, God said, that cloud, the enemy, is trying to put over this church. Your worship and your faith and your walking in first fruit is going to blow it away. And He said, sometimes you got to go to the gates of hell to get the keys. Come on, Jesus had to go to the gates of hell to get the keys. Come on. Come on, in our hands it's not enough, but in His hands it's more than enough. You know what? God's helped you through the storm. Let Him hold you through your storm in your life. In the worst storm of his life, you know what God done? God sent an angel to Paul. And that angel never stopped the storm. He never stopped the wind. He never stopped the rain. He just stood there making sure Paul was going to make it. And some of you, God sent a standby angel to make sure you get all the way through. Come on, your shortcoming is your greatest asset. You don't know how to do anything, just trust Him and worship God. That's your greatest asset. You know what? Moses had a stone. He had a stammer. But you know, or he had a staff. But the greatest thing God ever gave Moses was that stammer. Come on. See, the devil's not upset about where you've been or where you're at. He's upset about where you're going. The word traitor is only used three times in the Bible. And the word traitor in the Hebrew means ones that runs ahead and opens a door for the enemy. But God has slammed it shut. And God is ready to bring the revival. Yea, though I walk. Don't stop. Don't sit down. Yea, though I walk. You're bleeding from wounds that you didn't even inflict. Don't be embarrassed by your limp. Some of you smile and you worship to cover up the scars and the bruises. Dilemmas have stretched you back and forth. You even worship with a heaviness. I'm a salesman. I know body language. You worship with a heaviness. The ones you love the most has hurt you the most. But you need to get to the place you can lay aside your shield and let us touch you. Everybody say, the church is my mama. Now listen to this. The difference between abuse and nurturing is the intent of the touch. Hallelujah. Well, I feel an anointing on this place. I feel an anointing on this place. I feel an anointing. I feel an anointing on this place. I feel an anointing on this place. I feel an anointing on this place. God, I'm moving into the covenant of first things. I'm moving it into the covenant of first things. I'm moving into the covenant of first things. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm moving into the covenant of first things. God, I want to put you first in my life. God, I want to put you first in my life. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the wounds. I want to put you first and watch you fight for me as you fought in the day of battle. I want to sit at your right hand. Girls, always put him first. Always put him first, because there's a real devil and a real hell that wants to destroy your life. Come on. Come on. Always put him first, mom and daddy, because there's a real devil and a real hell that wants to tear your family up and cause your kids to be lost. But I've got a covenant with God. If I put him first, all the rest of it's going to fall. Line up on line, precept up on precept, here little, there little. It said his light has gone out into all the earth, and God wants the church to align with him. Because when you align with him, glory comes. Come on, it's not God finding our address, it's us finding God's address. When you get lined up with God, the glory automatically comes. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to get everything you own in your hands. I want you to get your business. I want you to get your recreational things. We're going to lift them up to God. My wife has collected crystal for years. What's that famous crystal, that wedge, what is it? Wedgwood crystal? Huh? Yeah. She's got some of that stuff. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm putting all this in a box. I'm going to go sell it. I want to give it to start a revival. I want to give it to Metro Evangelism. I want to give it to me. I want to do something with it. I said, honey, that's your stuff. She said, I need him and we need revival. This was yesterday. We need revival more than we need this stuff sitting around our dining room looking pretty. Hallelujah. See, this is radical religion. We get, and I've been guilty, we're evangelists. And we get so intent on selling the kingdom to people that we forget that there's a sacrifice to follow him. There's a sacrifice to follow him. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the boy went away sorrowful. Leave those oxen, Elisha, and take a hold of the tzitzit to lead on my prayer shawl and follow me. I've thrown it on you. Hallelujah. I want you to say it out loud. God has sent Brother Mahaney at this time. I've accepted his other messages. I've got to get this in my spirit also. Oh, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am. Here I am.
Lord.
I feel more of a dimension of revival right now than I felt when we was up here shouting. And so I wouldn't give my motor home. I wouldn't give my shoes. I would. The guy got a nicer motor home. Some of the men at church took that little Spanish boy and bought him 3 pairs of shoes. The man that bought me my shoes was a businessman in Houston. He had a contract. He had bid on that contract for 7 years straight and never got the contract. The next day after he bought those shoes, they called him and he got the contract. And his net profit was $9 million from that. Hallelujah. I feel an anointing on this church. Brother Baxter to come. I promise it'll be different tonight. I'll get a camp meeting sermon out. I want our pastor to come. Oh, take it all. Take it all. What this world can offer me. It won't.